Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Trust excellence built on 40 years of experience. Visit zurichcorporate.ie to learn more about the Zurich Master Trust.
Thanks, Hugh. Colm O'Mungine here, holding the fort till 7. Now, back to events in Gaza, where Israeli troops have left Al-Shifa, which is Gaza's largest hospital, after a two-week raid that left much of the complex in ruins and killed civilians and medical staff there. Once the centre of Gaza's health system, it now stands in ruins. The Israeli government have portrayed the raid as a success, saying they killed about 200 fighters and captured 500 more in the raid. Gazan officials said hundreds of civilians were killed, which Israel denies. My next guest, Dr. Mads Gilbert, is a Norwegian physician who is a long-time volunteer with the Palestinian Healthcare Services, spending 17 years working in Al-Shifa Hospital on and off since the 1980s. When I spoke to him earlier, I asked him about the significance of Al-Shifa Hospital to Gazans.
Yeah, my first encounter and meeting and work in Shifa was actually in 1989 during the Intifada, when the Israelis were still in control. And Shifa is an old hospital. It was an old hospital. It was founded in 1946, so it's a better part of 75 years old. And it's the cornerstone of the healthcare system in Gaza. It is the university hospital for Gaza. Many people don't know that they have medical schools, they have nursing schools, they train psychologists, they train pharmacists, and you know, all sorts of specialties that you need for a healthcare system. And Gaza's Shifa Hospital was the university hospital. It's a 700, it was a 700 bed hospital, had all specialties, around 2,000 employees, and it had a very high standard. It was a very well recognized hospital, and of course, incredibly important for the 2.2 million people of Gaza, because they could rest assured that they would have third-level healthcare when they needed it. And when I've been working there, it's been doing research between the attacks, and then I've been there during the Israeli attacks on Gaza in 2006, 2009, 2012, and 2014. So I've been working with these extremely brave and highly skilled health personnel in Shifa, the doctors, the nurses, the paramedics, the medical students, and the ambulance paramedics, not to forget. And I've seen how they have been able to handle mass casualties with inflows of, one night during the 2014 attack, we had 400 trauma patients coming in one night. And they managed to improvise and to give decent basic treatment and life-saving treatment. They have saved, that hospital alone has saved, I don't know how many tenths of thousands of lives. So in any society, if you think about Dublin and the beautiful hospitals you have there, and if you were occupied and the occupying forces started to attack and burn down your hospitals, I think your people, your military people would like to defend the hospitals, because that is an important asset for the civilian society. And that's what the Palestinians have been doing. I have never seen any military personnel inside Shifa Hospital, nor has the Israeli army been able to prove anything. This last siege for 2 weeks and then the burning and the bombing was not the first. They did that in October, November also. And when they invaded, they didn't find a single evidence of any military presence there.
They claimed, and it's important. They did bring television crews in at the time and showed weapons they claimed to have found there, and went into the tunnel network underneath the hospital, or the tunnel spaces underneath the hospitals, and said they had been used to hold people there and also to accommodate militants. You don't believe those claims, do you?
During October, when these claims on Shifa came, the Palestinian authorities, the Minister of Health, Dr. Youssef Aourish, who I know very well, who is a very skilled pediatrician, they invited an international commission to examine all the Palestinian hospitals in Gaza with free hands. Who stopped that? The Israeli army. They did not want any international commission to come. And in fact, there is a smaller tunnel system under Shifa, which was built by the Israelis in the 80s when they were in charge of the hospital. They have not found, they have not shown any independent proof of weapons or command centers, neither in Shifa, nor in Rantisi Hospital, nor in the Turkish Friendship Hospitals. And I could go on with all the 35 hospitals in Gaza that Israelis have been attacking, sieging, strangulating, not allowing water, food, medicine, nothing. So this is a well-known pattern of the Israeli army to attack healthcare. In fact, WHO has shown that during the period from the 7th of October until the 12th of March, they have registered 600 Israeli military attacks on healthcare hospitals and primary healthcare clinics in Gaza.
The state of the hospital post the October and November raids, I mean, how aware were you of the damage that was done there, and how much has this now been compounded following what we've seen over the last week or so?
Actually, the Israeli attacks on the different hospitals in Gaza has caused some structural damage, like some artillery shells in the walls, some lift shelves that needed to be repaired. The most important problem, actually, to run the hospitals in Gaza has been the lack of electricity, fuel for the generators, water, food, and medical supplies. But the Ministry of Health has all the time said that we could reopen the hospitals and restart them once we have access to food, water, fuel, electricity, and medical supplies. And Shifa was actually reopened with limited medical services after the first siege and raid. So they had built up day surgery. They had an ICU running. And I spoke to my colleague, the very experienced surgeon, Dr. Marwan Abu Sada. And they had actually, before this raid, now the second raid, they had a fairly well-established hospital function in a limited number of departments, the emergency department, of course, the delivery department, and some few others, to serve more than 500,000 people in North Gaza who doesn't have any other hospital service. So it could have been restored and repaired. What we see now, this is a completely 100% destroyed hospital. It cannot be restored in its current form. It has to be taken down and rebuilt. And I can assure you that the Palestinian healthcare workers, and I just had a WhatsApp message from Dr. Sobi Skeik, who was the previous medical director of Shifa. He said, they can tear it down, but we will rebuild it. We will rebuild Palestinian healthcare in Gaza. And I think for all your listeners, try to find out how you can support Palestine and Gaza in this rebuilding and this resurrection of healthcare that the Israeli army has now completely destroyed.
Ismail Al-Tawabta, the director of Gaza's Hamas-run government media offices, he said all those killed at Al-Shifa hospital by Israeli forces had been either wounded patients or displaced people inside the hospital. The Israelis, as we've already discussed, say Hamas were using the hospital to shelter. But surely from the point of view of patients and those needing healthcare on the inside, no combatants should be inside hospital grounds using it for any purpose while people are being treated there.
Well, I'll answer that in two parts. Number one, the Geneva Convention is very clear that injured soldiers have right to protection and medical care, regardless. So you're not allowed to kill a soldier just because he's injured. And any decent army should know the international contracts between countries. And of course, the hospital should not be used as a platform for military attacks. And there has been absolutely no proof that the Palestinians have done that. And how stupid should they be with all the attention and all the propaganda from Israel on the hospital neutrality? How stupid would they be to put some of their fighters in there? I've been in Shifa during so many attacks, and I've never, ever seen armed soldiers from the resistance of Palestinians in the hospitals, neither in Shifa, nor in El Ahli Arab, nor in Al-Quds Hospital, nor in the Turkish Friendship Hospital.
All right. The Israeli Defense Forces, you may have heard there this afternoon, say they expressed their deep condolences to the families of the World Central Kitchen aid workers who were killed in an Israeli strike on an aid convoy. Benjamin Netanyahu, the Prime Minister, says this will be unintentional, and the military now says they will launch an investigation to get to the bottom of it. But what's your reaction to what's happened? The killing of 7 aid workers working for an organisation who had shared their coordinates, they say, with the Israeli Defence Forces. What kind of a chilling effect do you think this might have on other aid agencies who are seeking to distribute humanitarian aid throughout the Gaza Strip?
Israel has killed hundreds of Palestinian UN workers. They have been targeting ambulances which had given the coordinates to the Israeli commanders. They have been killing UN employees and UNRWA employees. And this is, of course, extremely grave that they killed these volunteers working for the World Kitchen. And now is a time to excuse. They should have been excusing and investigating every one of the civilian killed by their army, because you're not allowed to kill civilians. And also the 400 doctors and nurses who have been killed, what about them? Where's the excuse for killing them? Where's the excuse and the investigation for killing all these hundreds and hundreds of brave volunteer workers for the NGOs? So yes, it's of course much needed to investigate what happened. And yes, World Kitchen had their coordinates given. There was a convoy actually of three cars, white armored cars, driving with a few hundred meters apart, and they hit all three of the cars and they killed all on board. So that this should be a mistake, come on. But it is a striking double moral when the West has not been demanding any investigation or any excuse for the killing of 13,000 Palestinian children.
Right. We've heard reported also this afternoon that aid ships are turning back from Gaza with around 240 tons of undelivered aid following the aid strike. Would you see this as evidence of the chilling effect this airstrike has had?
I don't think it has a chilling effect. I just think that it has a bad propaganda effect for Israel, and they are desperate because they're so isolated in the world now that they need all the PR they can get. And this is certainly a major blow to their PR strategies. But listen, there are hundreds and hundreds of trucks standing outside Rafah, not allowed by the Israeli occupiers to get in. They have more food and more medical supplies than all these boat shipments that are coming. Why isn't the world, why isn't the US, why isn't the EU demanding that Rafah is open, that Gaza is open for the massive stored relief that could be in within 24 hours? Why is it now suddenly that there is so much attention on these boats? And why was there so little attention from the journalists when the defunding of UNRWA caused this major starvation because the food distribution system has fallen apart? So I think this picture is quite complex. And the easy way and the most logical way to feed and to get water to the people of Gaza, it is to open the defense, to open Rafah and Kmer Shalom and Karni. That can take, 40, 50 trucks an hour.
Dr. Mads Gilbert, thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you. Have a good afternoon.